were dead spiritually, and we have been made alive, and our baptism is a picture of that.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Colossians 3, 1-4 is the substance of the material that we wish to look at. And our subject material is the message of a baptism. When a person is baptized, he's the central figure in a miniature drama. And by his participation in that drama, he is proclaiming a message. In baptism, the Christian symbolically dies and rises again. As the waters close over him, it is as if he were buried in death. As he emerges from the water, it is as if he were resurrected to a new life. His proclamation on this occasion is not one that he is called upon to verbalize. There will be plenty of opportunity for that, and every one of us ought to be engaged in the ministry of verbalizing our faith, speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ and Christian witness. But his proclamation on this occasion in his baptism is not one that he's called upon to verbalize, but dramatize. And in that miniature drama we call baptism, in that he is saying that the old and selfish way of life, that life which previously had no room for Jesus Christ, is over. In fact, that life is not only over, it is now repulsive to him. What he once cherished and loved, he despises. He has rejected the values of that old way of life. And in its place, he has opened up his heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he has received, or she has received, the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and in so receiving has also received a totally new and wonderful way of living. All of those ideas are dramatically portrayed in our baptism. We've left behind the old way of life and we've embraced the new way of life. We have a repulsion, a godly contempt for the values of the old way, and we cherish and deeply and warmly embrace the values of the new way. Our baptism says that. We leave behind the selfishness and the emptiness and the Christlessness of the old way. And we provide for our Lord Jesus Christ a place right at the very center of our lives from here on out. And our baptism does not achieve that or accomplish that, but it proclaims it. It is a picture or a portrait of it. All of those things became true the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. At that moment, we were saved. And our baptism is a proclamation, a visible demonstration on the outside of that which has occurred on the inside in our lives. Now, it's the imagery of baptism that Paul has in his mind in Colossians 3, 1-4. He deals with the subject in the second chapter. And it's the imagery of baptism that Paul has in his mind in Colossians chapter 3 in verses 1-4. And let me just suggest to you very briefly is that we should understand and live by the implications of our Christian baptism. We should understand and live by the implications of our Christian baptism. Now that's true of every one of us who were baptized, whether it were a short time ago or years ago or decades ago. Every one of us should understand and live by the implications of our Christian baptism. What are those implications? I want you to notice with me here in Colossians 3, 1-4, that I believe there are three elements in the message of baptism in this passage. Three elements in the message of baptism in this passage. Christian baptism is a threefold picture. It is, number one, a picture of the beginning of a new life. That's verses 1 and 2. And then it is, secondly, the picture of the end of an old life. That's verse 3. You are dead. In what sense are you dead? In principle, spiritually, judicially, theologically, you died to that old way of life. You said away with it, signed, sealed, and delivered. I want nothing to do with it. And my baptism is a picture to that effect. It's the end of an old life. And then, thirdly, it is a picture of the hope, the promise, or the pledge of an eternally glorious life. And that life is described in verse 4. When Jesus Christ, who is our life, I hope you can say that, Jesus Christ is my life. He's all that matters to me. When Jesus Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. The glory that will attach itself to the Son of God when he descends from heaven and returns again, that glory will become mine in a very special, a very real, in a very meaningful way. My baptism is a prophetic portrait that that's going to come true because I've been saved. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, baptism is a picture. It's a threefold picture. It doesn't achieve or accomplish any of these things, but it portrays them. It is a portrait of them. A picture on the outside of that which has already occurred on the inside as a result of our personal faith in the Son of God. Number one, it's a picture of the beginning of a new life. Do you notice verses 1 and 2? If ye then be risen with Christ, he has in mind the imagery of baptism. We go down into the waters, we're raised up out of the waters, we're risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. As I look at those two verses, there are two things that stand out to me, which help me to understand the characteristics of this new life, of which our baptism is a picture or a portrait. There are two characteristics, as I see it in that passage, in those two verses of this new life. One, we have a new rank. We are risen with Christ. And two, we have a new responsibility. We are to seek those things which are above, and we are to set our affections on those things which are above. We have a new rank, we're risen with Christ, and we have a new responsibility that grows out of that new rank. We're to seek and to set our affections on those things which are above. Every child of God can lay claim to this precious truth. We've been risen with Christ. Every New Testament Christian, every born-again believer, every one of us who's placed our faith in the Son of God and experienced regeneration, we have been saved. Every child of God can lay claim to this precious truth. We have been raised up with Christ. We were dead spiritually, and we have been made alive, and our baptism is a picture of that. It occurred instantaneously the moment we received the Son of God as our Lord and Savior, and that moment, this dead human spirit was impregnated with the life of God's Holy Spirit. We were quickened. We were made alive. Resurrection power invaded our being, and we became new creatures in Jesus Christ. We have a new rank. We've been raised up with Christ. Just like Jesus was dead and his corpse was enlivened, just like he was made alive, we have been risen with Christ. That's the great wonder of the Christian experience. Our chief claim to nobility as human beings is that we have the capacity for fellowship with God. Unlike all of the other creatures that populate this globe, we are creatures made in the image of God. There is a part of our anatomy that is contiguous with the nature of God. We have a human spirit, and that gives us spiritual drives and spiritual capacities. But the tragedy of the human experience is that because of the invasion of the principle of sin, way back there in the Garden of Eden, every one of us in our native state is spiritually dead. So the implications of our chief claim to nobility are smashed. We're made to have fellowship with God. We have the capacity to have fellowship with God, but we don't have it. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're quickened. We're made alive. Just as the body of Jesus, that corpse was enlivened and came forth from the tomb, we are raised up with Christ. We have a new rank. It's a powerful blessing, a wonderful truth. And there's a real exaltation to this rank, because we're told that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And the right hand of God is the position of majesty, and it is the position of authority. The right hand is always the position of authority. Our salvation, which is portrayed and pictured, but not achieved by, portrayed and pictured in our baptism, our salvation so closely identifies us with Jesus Christ that we shall someday actually share in the expression of his majesty and the exercise of his authority. We'll be a part of the ruling aristocracy of God's kingdom when it's established on earth. Our baptism Maybe we've forgotten this. You know, in our haste to convince people that we don't believe in baptismal regeneration, and we do not. In our haste to convince people that we do not believe in baptismal regeneration, sometimes we convince people that baptism means nothing, and it does mean something. Our baptism is a portrait of the resurrection to newness of life that makes all of these blessings possible. We have a new rank. We've been raised up with Jesus Christ. I was dead. I was alienated from God. My life was filled with emptiness and meaningless. I had no purpose, no eternal destiny. I didn't know the meaning of forgiveness. But when I found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became a new creature in Christ. It's the beginning of a new life. My baptism is a picture of the beginning of a new life. But you know, with that new rank comes a new responsibility. If indeed our baptism speaks of a new life, pictures it and portrays it dramatically, symbolically, then we need to understand the implications of this new life. So, what is the new responsibility that attaches itself to this new life of which baptism is a picture? Do you notice there in verse 1 and verse 2 of Colossians 3? It's a twofold responsibility. Really, they're almost synonymous. He says, I want you to seek those things which are above, and I want you to set your affection on those things which are above. Paul says, with privilege comes responsibility. You've been risen with Christ. You've been raised up with Christ. And with that privilege comes responsibility. When a man or when a woman becomes a Christian, that person becomes a different person. And that difference lies in the fact that he has a whole new set of values. Sometimes I think we forget that. We go slinking back to the old systems of values. And when we do that, we're denying first our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we're denying what we said when we got baptized. I'm dead to that old way of life. That difference lies in the fact that he has a whole new set of values. He seeks for and sets his mind or affections upon the things which are above. He first finds them, and then he focuses upon them. He seeks for them, and then he sets his affection or his mind upon them. He first finds them, and then he focuses upon them daily in his Christian life. What does it mean to seek God? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to seek God and the things which are above? To seek God means to hunger and thirst after him. You know, it's a refreshing thing to find a Christian who hungers and thirsts for God. And in the life of that kind of an individual, there is a moral dynamic. There is a godlike capacity and quality, which is rarely seen in the modern world. The Bible says that our baptism means that we left behind the old values and we want to embrace the new values, and we so cherish those new values that we pursue them. We seek after them. We hunger and thirst after God and after his truth. And it means beyond that, that we make God the chief source of our joy and our delight.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
God's wisdom with all of those precious virtues is from above. And we set our affection on God's wisdom.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.